Yep. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. As I was telling someone earlier on, Survivor starts 9:30. Please bear that in mind. First of all, I have to announce the substitutions. So we have MHA Conway Ottenheimer's in for MHA O'Driscoll. We have MHA Evans in for MHA Brown. We have MHA Parsons in for MHA Stoyles. And we have MHA Bragg in for Scott Reed, or MHA Reed, I should say. There's no one here, no unaffiliated members here, so we'll go with we don't need to do that. Do you want a break? Be back in 10. Okay, that'd be great. First of all, when you're speaking, please identify yourself and wait for the tally light each time you speak. Members are asked, and officials are asked, not to adjust the seats. So I guess that is because one of us might go down too low tomorrow and we might be looking up like that in the house and things like that. Not good for the camera. And water coolers are located in each end here. And if you don't have a water bottle, glasses are provided. I feel like an airline stewardess here. Okay. Okay, first of all, I'll ask the members of the committee and any staff attending with them to introduce themselves. Start here.
Okay.
They can all introduce themselves. You don't have to do it.
Yes, I was going to just say a few opening remarks and then have them introduce themselves.
We do it after
That's
the...
That's fine. Okay, yep. Yeah. So I'll start right here on my left.
Tracy King, Deputy Minister of Labrador Affairs.
Wanda Trickett, Departmental Controller.
Allison Corcoran, Manager of Finance, Budget, and General Ops.
Nicole Kiley, Executive Assistant with Minister Lisa Dempster.
Alan Bach, Director of Communications.
Michelle Watkins, Assistant Deputy Minister, Labrador Affairs.
Sherry Snow, ADM for Medical Transportation Assistance Programs.
Okay.
Lisa of Labrador Affairs.
All right. Now, we're going to ask the members over here to identify yourselves, please.
Andrew Parsons, Burgio Lapoil.
Brian Ward, Beaver at Green Bay.
Jim Locke, Government Member's Office.
Chris Tibbs, MHA for Grand Falls, Windsor, Buckhams.
Derek Bragg, Fogo Island, Cape Frios.
Lee Levins, MHA, Twin Gap Mountains.
Brad Russell, Office of the Official Opposition.
And Helen Conway Ottenheimer, MHA, Harbor, Maine.
Okay.
Scott Fleming, researcher, Third Party Caucus.
Okay. Clerk, we're going to call for the first subhead. There are minutes?
Yep, from the last meeting.
Okay. So we'll ask for approval of the minutes.
Sorry.
Okay.
Members of the committee have copies.
Members of the committee have them?
Okay.
Yep. So we'll ask for a mover.
No, when I call the subhead, then you'll have 50.
Turn.
MHA Ward moved.
Moved by MHA Ward. Yeah. Second. Second by MHA.
Okay. And call for a vote. All those in favor?
All those in favor? Aye. Contrary-minded? Motion carried.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask the clerk now to call the first subhead grouping.
1.1.01, Executive and Support Services.
Shall 1.1.01, 1.1. Yep. Carry. All right, Minister, now is your turn, finally.
So wait a minute for my light to come on. Good evening, everyone. I know some have had a long day already, so we may not take too long here tonight, but we'll be here as long as you need. I just want to take the opportunity to make a few introductory remarks. Estimates is a very important part of budget process, and this is probably my fifth or sixth time around in different committees. I want to say thank you to the members of the Government Services Committee for your work in scrutinizing the budget expenditures of 23-24. I do have members here of the Labrador Affairs team with me, and they've already introduced themselves. I will do my best as the minister to answer your questions, but should you ask something I'm not able, I'm sure that one of my capable staff can certainly chime in. I'm just going to speak for a minute or two a little bit about Labrador Affairs and recent developments. So most of you here in the chamber tonight would be aware that effective April 23, Labrador Affairs became a standalone department. So there was a little swearing in down at Government House, and I was pleased that my mom, who lives on the other end of the country, just by chance, was able to be there. All functions and programs previously administered by the Labrador Affairs Secretariat now fall within the jurisdiction of the Department of Labrador Affairs. So everything that was there prior is certainly still there. But in addition to Labrador Affairs, the department has the responsibility for medical transportation assistance programs. The MTAP programs were transferred in during the budget from the Department of Health and Community Services. And when we talk about medical transportation, we're referencing two programs. There's the Medical Transportation Assistance Program and the Medical Transportation Program for Income Support Clients, or you may hear me refer to ISMT. The decision to transfer medical transportation assistance from Health and Community Services to Labrador Affairs, certainly, I would argue, places a heightened focus on the value of these programs and probably is part of the province's reimagined healthcare system. MTAP, although when you look at other jurisdictions, the program here in Newfoundland and Labrador is recognized as far-reaching, but I will tell you I've only been close to it for a few weeks now, and already I can certainly see that there are challenges and there are certainly areas that we need reviewed. We're aware of questions and concerns that have been raised by users of the program who have to travel from rural and remote areas to larger centers to access specialized health services. I'm also confident in saying Labrador Affairs as a perspective and the unique needs of Labradorians, and in particular residents from around the island who may live in rural areas that have to rely on the medical transportation service. So I do want to share with folks here tonight that with this perspective, we have launched in straightway to finalizing a review of the programs. Some of the initiatives that were started by Health and Community Services to improve medical transportation assistance. And for me, as the minister now, I want to ensure that programs operate as effectively as possible. A part of this review involves an outreach to stakeholders who have experience with the medical transportation assistance program. And I am looking at MHAs here tonight, and who really knows better where some of the areas of focus that we should be looking in terms of making improvements to the program. So as a part of our review, we have reached out to all other 39 MHAs in this chamber, and we will be setting up sessions to hear feedback from any of you that wish to avail. Budget 23 under that program also included an additional $1 million as an objective to improve medical transportation assistance. And just in closing, when I think about Budget 2023, I'll say a couple of things as it relates again to Labrador Affairs. one of the department's priority areas is the Labrador Transportation Grooming Subsidy. So while many of us drive on 10,000 kilometers, some of the 10,000 kilometers of road in the province, up where my colleague in particular would live in the area she would represent in Torngat, we maintain 750 kilometers of groomed trail. Some areas in the district I represent as well, Cartwright, Black Tickle, areas that don't have a road connection. So in budget 23, there was an allocation of $3.3 million to enhance snowmobile travel for residents of Labrador's coastal communities. And a part of that investment, and I'll be happy to answer more questions later, will be used to replace or repair grooming machines, garages, emergency shelters, and adding reflective trail markers. Also, you would have noted in budget 23 that more than $800,000 is allocated for the Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy. And if you're not familiar, basically that's a subsidy that provides air travel support to Labrador athletes 18 years of age and under, Special Olympians, sport organizations, etc., to participate in provincial competitions, development camps, Indigenous games, and junior varsity sport school athletes. And we also placed an increase of $100,000 in this area during the budget as well. There were some other things in the interest of time. I'm just going to skim quickly. The MOU that the Premier and I signed with the Premier and his Deputy of Nunavut in Ottawa in February was another exciting noteworthy mention, I believe. The people of Newfoundland and Labrador and Nunavut, there's lots of commonalities, and so we look forward to working closely with Nunavut to learn from each other and build on those commonalities and share some of our challenges as we move forward. So it's been an active year for Labrador Affairs. I've only mentioned a couple, but some other events that happened during the last year that we would have played a role in some way, shape, or form, or funded was the Labrador Winter Games, which happens every 3 years, Kane's Quest, which happens every 2 years. We had a great delegation at the Northern Lights Conference in Ottawa, certainly showcasing the opportunities that we have here in the north. I would be remiss if I didn't mention on July 5th, walking the last kilometer of the Trans-Labrador Highway from border to border. I won't say complete because we're moving forward on looking at the north coast, but 30 years and $1 billion later, it was pretty pretty phenomenal, actually, to be there and sharing that. And I'm looking at my colleague across the way. There's lots of things happening in the underground mine at Voisey's Bay. There's the new school coming in Cartwright. Highway improvements underway this summer in Northwest River, Sheshi, and then, of course, the work around the pre-feasibility. And in 20, my colleague from Lab West isn't here, but I will say that 2024 will be the 70th anniversary of IOC, so we're already eagerly anticipating some exciting things there in a year. So with that, that was a little bit more than I planned to say, but I'll now turn it back to the chair.
Thank you. We're now going to call the on the first questioner from the committee. Okay. MHA Ottenheimer, Conley Ottenheimer, I should say.
First of all, I want to thank the minister for the overview of the recent developments in this new department. And I can also add that it is a new portfolio for me as the shadow minister for this department. So I'm very excited about that. And I look forward to tonight to learn as much as I can from your staff. I want to thank the Labrador Affairs team for being here. And it's truly an honor to be in this particular department. It's a very important one. And I am glad, too, as you are, that Labrador Affairs has become a standalone department, which, as you indicate, does represent the heightened value and importance of this this department. So on that note, I'll get into my first question. If we could please have a copy of the minister's briefing binder.
Absolutely.
Okay.
happy to provide you with a copy.
Pardon?
Did you ask for a copy of the
yes.
binder? Yeah, you're speaking a little bit low. I'd be more than happy to provide you with a copy
okay.
of the binder.
Right. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Are there any errors in the published estimates book?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you. And just wondering if there have been any positions eliminated, and if so, what are those positions?
No positions eliminated.
Okay, thank you. Now, I understand there are employed in the department. I see that there were 10 people employed in the department. Is that the case?
In Labrador Affairs?
Yes.
11.
Is it?
It's a 15.
Yeah,
employed in the department.
Plus 40, plus the medical transportation.
So we had 15, and now that we've brought over the medical transportation, there's an increase of 43 that came with that program.
Okay, thank you. Now, most of the people are located where in the department? Are they in Labrador?
For Labrador Affairs?
Yes.
So the deputy minister is with me and my EA, the comms is back and forth, but the Labrador Affairs office is in Happy Valley Goose Bay, and that's where Michelle Watkins, the ADM, would be the lead on the number of staff there. The MTAP ADM, Sherry Snow, is with me on the sixth floor, and most of the MTAP staff are either, if it's the regular medical transportation program, they're out on Major's Path. If it's the income support, it's over in health and community services in the West Block.
Okay, thank you. How many retirements occurred in the last year?
There was at least one at Labrador Affairs, and that was the only one? Okay, there was one in MTAP, and there was one at the office in Goose Bay.
Okay, thank you. How many vacancies are not filled in the department?
So there's two branches. I don't think there's any here, but we did have, bearing in mind when I answer the questions, of course, MTAP just came to me, so I'm answering questions probably for the last 12 months looking back. We did have 10 vacancies with MTAP that are going through the HR process, as you would appreciate, and work is happening actively to fill those. I don't know if it's still 10, is it? Yes, it's still 10, but there are a number of positions are at different stages there being filled. And one vacancy at Labrador Affairs.
Okay. With respect to the 10 vacancies in MTAP, so, would you describe that as being, seriously understaffed? Is that causing any problems, would you say?
It's definitely concerning when you have a program that's really, really valued to the people of this province. The further out you go, I think it's fair to say, the more people rely if they have to travel for specialized service. At the same time, we work within an HR system of, there's a process that they go through. Sometimes, like I'm having been in a number of departments in government, as I become aware, sometimes you eventually get people into a position and then they go off to another department and you start all over. So there is a little bit of a turnover that happens there as well. I'm just learning as I've been being briefed up the last couple of weeks. But we absolutely need those 10 positions filled in as short a time as possible because it will help with processing times of claims, turnarounds, etc.
Okay, thank you. How many layoffs have occurred in the department last year?
None.
Okay. And new hires? Have there been any new hires that have taken place in the last year?
Yes, I mean, medical transportation has been hiring.
Yeah.
Do you mean new positions or just new or filling vacancies?
Yes. Medical transportation, MTAP, it's been an ongoing, some being hired, some going to other departments and in the process starting again. I don't know if the ADM would have a number on that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Sherry Snow. It depends. We could fill a position three times over in the same year. because we've had a number of turnovers, so it's very hard to, at this point, you know, without going back and adding up how many new positions we filled.
Okay, thank you. How many contractual and short-term employees are there in the department?
Did you ask me what they were?
No. Just how many? So it's three, is it?
Four.
Okay. Thank you. How many employees are working from home versus in the government office?
None. Did I?
There are none other than anyone that might have an accommodation.
So there's none, but there may be some with an accommodation previously approved. There's none in the office in Goose, I'm aware of. There's none here in our department, but with MTAP, there may be two that were accommodated. Okay. So pretty small number.
Thank you. Did your department receive any funds from the contingency fund?
No.
Thank you. And there's a restated amount of...
I should state no for the record. Sorry, I nodded my head. Answer can't pick that up.
Thank you. There is a restated amount of $14,789,000. Just wondering if you can explain this, please.
Can you just tell me the number?
It's 1478090. That's actually referred to in the budget estimates on the very last page, A7, in the budget document.
Can you repeat that number again?
Sure. It's
in the estimates. It's 2.
No, it's 1478090. So 14,780,900. It's a restated amount. It's actually referenced in the budget document, the last very last page, A7. In the appendix.
Okay. So it's two things. It's MTAP, the program that came in, and then bringing Labrador Affairs out from Executive Council and into the standalone department.
Okay. Thank you. And the decision to establish Labrador Affairs as its own department, I know you, in your opening statement, Minister, indicated that, because it's heightened value. But what actually informed this decision?
I think my thought is there was an increased value placed on Labrador Affairs. It became much bigger once MTAP came in. That was about 45 staff that came. So that's a lot of people to be housed in Executive Council. It's usually the small shops of women and gender equality, the Office of Indigenous Affairs, et cetera. And, no doubt some are unionized, employees that are with the MTAP that probably historically wouldn't have been housed in Executive Council.
Okay. Thank you. Going on to some more general questions, specifically with respect to the pre-feasibility study contract for a road to Northern Labrador, that was awarded in January. I'm wondering when will this study be made public?
So there is a consultant that was, transportation and infrastructure would be the lead. They went out with an RFP and the contract was awarded. And that consultant is moving through communities, and I understand that it's going really well. Initially, he started with a certain plan of how he would do it, and he heard feedback from the Anu Cox, the leadership in the area, and he's certainly, I think, been working with the folks. I'm sure it's totally coincidental, but the consultant doing the work is also one of the is an Inuit beneficiary, so long relationships already built, I would argue, and understands the region and the people. And my understanding is that it's going well.
So I guess we can assume the study will be made public sooner than later.
Yeah, I don't have a timeline. I don't know. I don't want to speak for my colleague in TI. I can endeavor to get an answer to that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Is a road the only form of transportation that is being looked at, or are you considering a train route, for example? Would that
be something? Well, this is a pre-feasibility, so it's, and again, I'm not an engineer, and I don't want to speak for the lead department, but a pre-feasibility, you're hearing from community down to the basic level of even does the communities in that region, is it their desire that they want a road, they don't want a road, do they have an idea on what proposed routes would be? I did meet with a consultant myself when I was in Ottawa in February, and he gave me a high level of what he planned to do just because I was curious. I'm not the lead department, but, and it was pretty... pretty simple, going into communities. He had his maps, and he's very interested in the local knowledge from the people that might, have different opinions of different routes, et cetera. But, and then he'll take all that information back, and then I guess the next phase will be a full feasibility, which would certainly look at things in a more fulsome way.
So I guess it's safe to say the answer to that will, that question that I asked, will really depend upon the outcome of the study, perhaps.
Pardon me?
I guess the answer to the question that I asked will basically depend upon the outcome of the feasibility study. Is what you're saying. Okay. Could the minister update us of feedback on the North Coast ferry route? And is the local population pleased with this option, or are there any plans to re-engage a freight boat from the island?
So, again, you're asking me a question from transportation and infrastructure. I do know there was a meeting, so the service provider currently contracted does have an annual meeting, and it's a broad range of stakeholders, DMHA for that region. It's Labrador Affairs staff, transportation and infrastructure, and they give an overview each year. And from what I have seen in data, is that the, and we can certainly endeavor to get that for you, but what I've seen in data is that the number of passenger travel is up substantially, the number of vehicles is up, the number of freight, because they're now able to take a vehicle for the first time. What we've also recently heard from a couple of the main grocery stores in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, is that there's a larger number of people that are coming with their vehicle, and then they're actually, their groceries and things are going back in their vehicle, which is something new they're able to do. So there seems to continue to be an increase in that area.
Okay, thank you. Outside of the Labrador Aboriginal Nutritional and Artistic Assistance Program, is there any new funding dedicated in this budget to reduce the price of food and essentials for the North Coast?
So the food insecurity is a concern on the North Coast. That the poverty reduction file is housed under the Minister of CSSD. So he would have definitely more details than I would, but I can tell you that when we traveled the North Coast, most of the communities last fall, and we did visit Nain in January, we sat down with my colleague, Minister Abbott, and I sat down with the Nunatsiavut government, and we actually looked at some of the prices. There is a federal Nutrition North program. I've actually been to Ottawa on two different occasions looking for an increase into the items that can be, you can claim subsidy for with that program. And I believe there is now, I forget the name it's called, a harvester, a check amount that if someone wanted to go out on the land. And when we sat down with the Nunatsiavut government, they actually told us they have snow machines as well. So if somebody doesn't have a snowmobile and they want to go out and hunt and harvest, I believe that resource is there, is what they shared with us in January. All that said, we saw prices there that were extremely high. That was concerning. And so myself and Minister Abbott, we came back and we're taking a deeper look, and we've written the federal government again on our concerns on that matter. I will say, interestingly enough, for the record here in Hansard, that it was quite striking for me to go into a number of communities where there were northern stores where the cost was extremely high. But in the little community of Postville, where Winston Shepherd has a long-standing family business, and when you walk in, there's a little sign that says this retailer is a participant in the EAR food lift subsidy, the prices were significantly lower. And actually, they told us that in the winter, people come from other towns to shop at that store in Postville. So those conversations are happening because I'm just curious myself as to why the northern stores up and down the coast would be so much higher.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you.
MHA Evans.
Thank you. Just a couple things. I'd like to thank everyone for being here.
I'm going to look for my ear pod because Leela speaks really loud.
It's not often she says she can't hear me. Just to start off with, I'd like to thank you all for your time and your effort, energy tonight, you know, sitting late. I also like to acknowledge the role that the, I guess my colleague plays here from Harbour, Maine. We shared many stories about Northern Labrador and Labrador as a whole and all the issues while we worked together, and I really appreciate her integrity and also to her interest in Labrador. So I really appreciate the role you play, Helen. That being said, most of my general questions I'm going to save for the next section, which is Labrador Affairs. But I will ask some general questions on points that were raised here already. So just looking at, so I got to follow the questions because my colleague asked a lot of the questions that I was going to ask. She did ask about the, I guess, the rationale of having Labrador Affairs as its own separate department. And I believe the minister, you answered that. But also, I guess the same question could be asked for putting MTAP, which is the Medical Transportation Assistance Program, under Labrador Affairs, because when we look at who accesses it, is basically everyone in the province that has to travel for medical transport, for medical services. So I was just wondering along those lines, what was the rationale to bring it under Labrador Affairs as opposed to leaving it where it was?
Thank you. That's an important question, and it is a program that's very valuable to many people around the province. The only reason I know is that most of us know that health is and community services is a very, very large department, almost half of the provincial budget, and the MTAP program certainly does need attention. And what I can tell you, and what my executive assistant Nicole will tell you, is since it came under us, it's absolutely unbelievable, the volume of emails. So I think of the health minister and the calls coming in under him, it was four health authorities and now it's one, and all he would have been dealing with. I would not have had the time to give this program the attention that it needs, like right now this review and things. And in addition to that, Labradorians that would have to travel the furthest for to see a specialist, places like Labrador City, Goose Bay, I would say most of probably the beneficiaries your way maybe would be in a different category. So we certainly have an understanding of the needs of that and what policies that might be are in place right now that might be working and what aren't.
Okay. No, it's just puzzling because you would think that the Department of Health would be able to look after the health needs of the travel health needs for their people, and putting it under Labrador Affairs because they couldn't meet the needs really signals to us that in actual fact maybe they should expand their department and maybe even went into a sub-department, right? Because it is about health, it's not about Labrador.
right? That's the most important issue. Yes, Labradorians have to travel for a lot of their health needs, but so does rural Newfoundland as well. So I think this is good to sort of ask the question and get the answer. Also, the minister, just in terms of the general comments there about the Marine Service for Labrador. Yes, there is an annual meeting that the department holds, but for this year, I look at the deputy minister in the back there. In actual fact, I didn't participate in the meeting because I couldn't call in on a phone line, and none of the Onyekoks in my six communities didn't get to call in either. So we're looking at rescheduling, but it does show. Also, the minister wasn't present as well, the Minister of Transportation. So it does, there is a need for that annual meeting, and there is a need to make sure transportation needs are being addressed. It's not a general question, but I just wanted to comment on that as well. And I also want to comment on the cost of the foods in the store. It's not just northern stores, and I do appreciate the minister traveling into the district and looking at it, but it's not just the northern stores as well. The price of food is really out of the reach of a lot of the low-income people, even people who have fairly good incomes that just suffer. And I do want to add comment regarding the community of Postville and Winston Shepherd. Because every time I'm in Postville, I talk to Winston Shepherd. And one of the things that Winston tells me is sometimes he don't do his regular markup on certain items that people really need. He don't put it on. So what he has to do is he has to find something else in his store to mark up higher to compensate. So it's not about one store being able to give everyone a reasonable price, right? Because businesses should not have to do that, right? So getting back to the questions, section 1.1.01, executive support. I just asked the question there. I'm not sure if my colleague had asked it there for salaries, so the line item for salaries. Last year's revised value was $79,500 over budget. I was just wondering why that was, and this year's estimate has increased by 161. So I was just looking for an explanation on the changes in these values.
Thank you, MHA Evans. Just as a part of your preamble, the comment about health and MTAP and health needs needing to stay there. This is a program, so people make an application. We're in no way down into the health programs or things in here. It's a program that provides financial assistance. So the 45 people that work in MTAP are accepting claims and processing claims, et cetera. Just there's no health decisions being made there. I just want to clarify that. I was aware that the Anucocs had asked for a separate meeting, and we have said to the service provider we want to ensure that that happens, so that it's very important that the leadership in Torngat and MFN have an opportunity to give their feedback. On the 1.1.01, the $79,500, it reflects an overrun due to executive position moving from MTAP to executive support, and also due to salary increases. And the 161.6 that you referenced would have been the same. It reflects an increase primarily due to the executive position moving from MTAP to executive support. And then the salary increases is like a step year over year, right? You see a little difference there across government departments. 2% increase.
Right, and most of my general questions that I do have, I'm going to save for the next section.
Okay.
So I'm done
okay.
With this section.
MHA Huttheimer.
Thank you. I still have a few questions regarding the North Coast. Are there any strategies being worked on by the department to reduce the cost of food and essentials on the North Coast?
Well, certainly the transportation system that the ferries that the Hamtic, I was trying to think of the name, runs from Goose Bay, I think is subsidized almost 100%. Again, that's questions that my colleague in transportation would be better able to answer.
Okay, thank you. Can we get an update on the main airport, and is there a funding commitment from the province or the federal government to pay for this piece of infrastructure?
So the main airport is a file that's been you know, in need for a long time, and there is a commitment both from the provincial and federal government. There has been a number of studies done. It's a pretty monumental endeavor. I think there's about maybe 10 kilometers of road that will have to be built to that new location. But that file is moving forward. I believe the commitment from the province is $7 million project, and the commitment from the province is $3.5 million.
Okay. So it's moving along.
Yes, it is. Okay, at long last.
Yes, thank you. The minister announced high-speed internet funding for households on the North Coast last year, and there was criticism around the cost compared to Starlink, which some are using, some people are using on the North Coast. Can the minister elaborate on the decision to use Bell versus Starlink?
So, again, I won't speak as eloquently to this as my colleague in IET could, but it is my understanding, and he's here so he can correct the record if he needs to tonight, it is my understanding that each time we have rolled out fiber to homes, Wi-Fi, cellular, the lion's share have come from the feds. I joined our MP for both the North Coast. I believe it was $22 million. Perhaps that was 1 year ago in February, or it might have been two. And then there was $8 or $10 million on the South Coast. And it's taking a little bit longer to see it happen than we would have liked. But I believe, and I don't want to speak for her, but I believe at the time Starlink had certainly been looked at. But when you, unless you hardwire into homes, you know, there's, I don't think it's as reliable a system. Could someone then take that and sell it or remove it? I've become recently quite familiar with Starlink because many, many people in my own constituency are now using Starlink, and they're able to take it and have contact when they go to their cabins on the weekend, et cetera. But again, there's certainly a big difference, and you know, you're giving a mobile unit that you can carry versus something hardwired in that's more longer term and permanent. May have been the thinking of the federal government, who certainly was the biggest financial provider. I know one of the announcements, it was $12 million, and I think the provincial portion was $500,000. So they were certainly the lead on that.
Okay, thank you. Now moving along to the relocation assistance program that residents of Mud Lake could avail of. Can you please give us an update on that program?
The details of that would definitely be best answered by my colleague, the Minister in Municipal and Provincial Affairs. I will say that we do have a relocation policy in the province still offering to residents in certain areas. The first line of the relocation policy is must be community initiated and community driven. And it's important to say that because the old days of relocation, sometimes forced, did not go well. So I am aware that my colleague, the MHA for Lake Melville, have been working closely with some of the residents of Mud Lake, and they expressed a desire that they now preferred to leave. And so him and the Minister of Municipal and Provincial Affairs have been working with them and have offered them an amount of money that is in the program to go. And I believe, it's just coming to me now, that that money is now with legal and is being paid out actually now or within the next week or so. It's fairly far along, is my understanding.
Yes, because one of the concerns or criticisms of this funding program that I've heard is that it wouldn't be enough to purchase a comparable house in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, for example. And I just wondered if you, as the minister, would have concerns about this.
Well, so when someone accepts the relocation money, if it's $250,000 or $270,000, they may not necessarily want to go to Goose Bay or any other place. I can speak with firsthand familiarity from Williams Harbor, my constituency that relocated since I have been the MHA. And when the people relocated from that community, they actually spread into different communities. Some chose Port Hope Simpson because they had family, or some chose Charlottetown. I can just say that on the coast, $250,000 can probably build you a nice bungalow and have some money left over to put in the bank, and seasonal employment offered at plants and things like that. Mud Lake, I really don't know where the residents plan to go.
Okay, thank you. The town of Happy Valley, Goose Bay recently released a statement saying, quote, and they indicated reports of lawyering, panhandling, mischief, littering, public intoxication, threats, lewd acts, sexual and physical abuse, vandalism, break-and-enters, and increased drug-related and other serious crimes have become common in our neighborhoods. I'm just wondering if the minister, if you can walk us through what actions are being taken or what is being done by the provincial government to address these concerns.
So there's many, many things I would argue that's happening. I would say that what's, first of all, the situation in Central Labrador is very concerning. I think it's important to differentiate that we have a homeless population, that the numbers may be smaller, and we have a transient population that tends to go up in the summer as people move in from other communities into Central, and when the temperatures drop and the weather is colder, they go home. As a province, this file has been a top priority for us, and there's actually a litany of things that we have been doing, and we can certainly provide you with a list of that, but we set up an action team. Really important to have Indigenous leadership and community stakeholders involved in working collectively to try and move to a better place. So they've been working on some medium and longer term goals. Last June, the Premier actually set up an acute response team made up of four ministers, the mayor in the community, the MHA, and the Indigenous leaders. And basically, I guess the difference, the acute response team was a little bit smaller, and it was at a folks at a decision-making level. So we would go into a meeting. We were meeting weekly for a long, long time. And when there was an ask, you know, if public safety was identified as a need, we need more RCMP or we need more security money, we were able to actually turn that around very, very quickly. So I have been working very closely with my colleague in Justice and Public Safety, with my colleague in housing, because it's complex and it doesn't just, it's not just housed in one department. And we are, as a government, moving forward to make a very substantive investment in that community to provide increased supportive housing units and increase in shelter beds, and then to look at wraparound supports and things like that. And I should mention as well that the health authority has been a very key player as well in terms of a mobile crisis response unit, etc. But and we've got maybe half a dozen or seven outreach workers across. Could be the Salvation Army, it could be the Hub, it could be the IRT, the Inuit Roundtable. Quite a lot of things happening, but we'd be happy to provide you with a list of exactly some of the services there.
Thank you. And I'll ask this question because it relates as well to this issue. The government issued a press release shortly afterwards stating, quote, "The government of Newfoundland and Labrador is disappointed with the position the Town Council of Happy Valley Goose Bay has taken on public safety concerns and response in recent weeks." Do you, as the minister, share this disappointment?
I think it's really important that as a province, that we have a great working relationship with the town of Happy Valley. We understand that there is concerns around public safety in the community right now, and as a result of that, kudos to my colleague in justice who actually went to bat and got an extra $500,000 in the budget, which is pretty substantive, that is sitting there. And when the town of Happy Valley is ready to reach out, you know, we've let them know that money is there, and we want to continue to work with them. We certainly value the relationship that we have.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Okay.
MHA Evans.
Questions I'm going to ask in the next section.
Okay. Back to you.
Helen. So on that point about the, let's see, the, where am I here? The town council in their statement had indicated that the Happy Valley Goose Bay RCMP detachment is grossly under-resourced to deal with the current situation. Do you also agree with that statement from the town council, Minister?
Well, we're certainly after line by line here.
Yes,
I want to help you as much as I can. And I cannot speak for Justice, the Minister for Justice or Attorney General, and I know from my time as a cabinet minister that government does not direct the RCMP, for sure, nor should you have elected officials, politicians, directing the day-to-day operations of government. But I do believe if he was here, he would tell you that is the only detachment in the province that he's reached in at least twice, asking for extra resources to be there. And I'm sharing that because he shared it in the committee and on the meetings that we've had. He's actually gone above and beyond and asked for extra staff, and extra staff, extra officers have been sent into that community.
Thank you. As well, you mentioned the $500,000 investment. Can you provide some details as to how that will be rolled out?
So the should the town of Happy Valley avail of the $500,000, then they will decide, but it's my understanding that they would use it for extra security in the community. Last year, one of the early initiatives on our acute response team asked that came in was for extra security in the community. There was money rolled out through Municipal Affairs and Environment, and we did hear very positive feedback, not just from the town of Happy Valley, but from businesses within the community that felt the security around the community was positive and was helping. They saw a need for it.
Okay, thank you. Now, on the issue of the homeless population in Happy Valley Goose Bay, the Telegram had reported last fall that the population, homeless population, was around 80. Do you have any updated estimates on the scale of this particular issue?
I don't have any numbers, but I was going to say less than when I was just in Happy Valley, spent some time last Thursday morning and had some meetings and spent some time at places like the Friendship Center, and the number that I was given there by people on the ground was 18, but I'm seeing 20, 25, certainly substantially lower than the 80. But it's like a point in time count. From my time in CSSD, we would do a point in time, and I'm sure that it changes from the number that's there 1 month, maybe a different number than is there the next month.
Thank you. That concludes my general question. So going to Labrador Affairs Executive and Support Services 1.1.01, Executive Support. I'm wondering if you could give us a breakdown of the transportation and communications line from last year and this coming year. That's under salaries, transportation and communication line.
I'm not sure what the question was.
Just a breakdown of the transportation and communication line from last year and this coming year.
Tracy King, Deputy Minister. So this funding is used, of course, for the travel for the Assistant Deputy Minister of Labrador Affairs, as well as the Director of Communications. So it would include things like the Director of Communications traveling for House of Assembly events, the Assistant Deputy Minister traveling for, you know, to attend meetings in St. John's or to go to the Northern Lights Conference or just the regular business of the executive in the department. And from one year to the next, we've not really seen a whole lot of difference. I think we're under budget this year by $1,400. But that's the type of thing. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that concludes my questions for this subhead.
Thank you.
Okay. Could you call the grouping?
1.1.01, Executive and Support Services.
Shall 1.1.01 inclusive carry? Carry. Okay. Could you call the next subhead, please?
2.1.01 to 2.1.02 inclusive, Labrador Affairs.
So under point 01 point salaries, last year, $596,009 was budgeted, but $678,200 was spent. Why is that?
Okay, yeah, that's the 81.3 difference reflects an overrun due to annual leave payout, and that was the individual I referenced earlier that retired.
Okay, thank you. Under transportation and communications, can you give us a breakdown of the transportation and communications line from last year and this year?
$4,900 in savings, is that the one you're referencing?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So my deputy would have outlined the types of things that we spend using, you know, the director of communications traveling with me, the ADM traveling in. Traveling for conferences like the Expo, Northern Lights in Ottawa, MineX, Mining X, is it, in Labrador City, et cetera?
Yeah. State participation in bilateral groups with federal
groups. Yeah, yeah. It would also include staff participation on bilateral meetings with the federal government, et cetera.
Thank you.
And cell phones would be in there as well, MHA.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And under grants and subsidies, 10 grants and subsidies, can you give us a breakdown of what was spent last year? Say there was $1,358,900.
Grants and subsidies, yeah, that would have been the, yes, the Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy, $730,000. Combined Councils of Labrador, $100,000. The Labrador Aboriginal Nutritional and Artistic Assistance Program, $50,000. The Labrador Transportation Grooming Subsidy, $471,000. And $7,500 community-based funding. School sport would be the $7,500.
Okay, thank you. And I see that there's a significant increase in the budget line item for this coming year. Can the minister explain what this is budgeted for?
That's more the, this is really going to be the laboratory.
Yeah, that's right. So I did go to bat for a number of things and was successful with all of it. I should ask for more. So the Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy has an increase of $100,000. We've really been hearing from students in Labrador travel out the increased cost in airfare, et cetera. We fund 75% of the travel, and that was becoming more and more. We do have a one-time funding of $3.2 million for our Labrador trails. In my meetings with the Anuncocks on the North Coast, we had heard about a need for replacements and upgrades to groomer garages, emergency shelters, also a need for new grooming machines, $1.6 million for that, and the $100,000 for reflective trail markers. And also, since I have become the minister here, we saw that the annual operating budget really wasn't enough anymore when it came to the cost of fuel has gone up. It was hard on the North Coast to obtain employees with the salary that the money that was available for salaries. So the annual operating budget has increased by $140,000 year over year, and the total annual operating is $671,000.
Okay, thank you. Now, subhead 2.102, medical transportation program. I have some general questions under this area. Can you, Minister, please walk us through the decision to move MTAP from Health and Community Services to Labrador Affairs? And I know that my colleague, MHA from Torngat Mountains, touched on this, but can you just elaborate on that for us, please?
So I was just pausing for a moment to see what I'd say, because I feel I've answered that to...
Okay.
I feel I've answered that to the best of my ability, okay. Other than it's a very important program to residents in this province. I think we had all heard, based on questions in the House, that the program certainly needed more attention. We also recognize that potentially there are areas of the program that need an increase, and Labrador certainly has a keen perspective on the program, because all of our residents that are coming out are incurring very high airfare having to spend multiple nights away to see a specialist, etc. So taking that knowledge, you can certainly relate to other challenges that other, in particular, rural MHAs would be experiencing. And so I know of no other reason than to give the program the attention that it needed, to give it a timely review, and to get it in a better place, ultimately a place that would be more beneficial for the residents of Newfoundland and Labrador that rely on the program.
Okay. Now, I'm wondering if there was any... if you were aware of what other jurisdictions have done. For example, are there any other provinces that have moved their program, their medical transportation program, out of health, for example? I mean, did that inform your decision? Was there any analysis of other jurisdictions?
I actually haven't done a jurisdictional scan, I will say that. I will say that I was always a very... a loud voice on this side. It's important to me that the people of the province, if a program is there, that they get access to what they're entitled to. And Labradorians really, have high claims if you're coming from Lab West or Goose Bay in particular. And so I was asked, would I take the program? And it's a program that's important to many people that I represent, and people that many of my colleagues in the chamber represent. So I said, yes, we'll take it, and we'll start a review process immediately, and hopefully in the coming weeks we'll see some positive changes as a result.
Yes, I hope so too. How many individuals have used the MTAP program in the last year?
So there's two, right? As I mentioned,
yes,
there's the medical
yes.
transportation program, and then if you're on income support,
right.
There's the income support medical program.
So total claims, 2223 total patients.
Right here.
Yeah.
So under the MTAP, the total claims in the 22-23 year would be 5,600.
Sorry, my mistake. It's 73.
Yes, it's gone up, exactly. Yeah. We're looking at the wrong number here. There's a lot of numbers there. So the total claims in 22-23 would be 7,320, and the number of patients attached to those claims would be 4,449.
Okay.
That's under the MTAP. Under the income support. Applications would be 13,264.
So do you have any explanation as to why it would have increased?
Why it would have increased?
Yeah.
During, I don't know, during COVID, if more people became aware of the program, then there was the, I'm just speaking even as an MHA, taking off my ministerial hat, during the cyber attack when there was people that, and this is just my view, it may not, when there was people that came in for appointments that got canceled, et cetera, and there was lots of conversations happening in media, we will reimburse you. And I had actually heard some folks say, oh, I wasn't aware of this program until all of that played out. But we've certainly seen an increase in the program over the last year.
And how many individuals would you estimate will be using the MTAP program in the coming year? Have you had any estimates or predictions or planning, strategic
It's
planning?
Definitely too early for me to say because okay. I'm like a couple of weeks in.
Okay, I got thanks. That I'm out of time there now, I think.
Okay. MHA Evans.
Thank you. I'll start off with some general questions. We see a number of initiatives aimed at lowering the cost of living from this government, and I do applaud the initiative. But of course, coming from a district with very substantive, vulnerable populations, we'll draw attention to some of the design flaws that leave people out in Labrador, especially in my district. And it's something I brought up in the House as well. Like, for example, residents trying to get the home heating rebate. Even people who had kept the receipts for the purchase of stove oil, the receipts weren't itemized. And sometimes they weren't actually official, unofficial receipts. But I do draw attention to past successful rebate programs that this government has put forward to lower the cost, to help people out with the cost of living, such as the that rebate we had for construction. Basically, people, building extensions on their houses, repairing their windows. My entire district was excluded from accessing that rebate, where you got 25% off the overall costs, up to, I think it was 25,000, was it, or 40,000? The construction rebate back in during COVID. So anyway, that was a significant amount of money. But for my district, they couldn't access having somebody with the home builder's affiliation. The work had to be done. So for me, I have to ask the Department of Labrador Affairs what the department is doing to ensure unique circumstances for Labradorians, especially in rural, remote regions such as Torres Strait Mountains, can avail of any more new initiatives the government puts forward in terms of the rebates. So basically, I'm asking Labrador Affairs, what are you doing to make sure regions of Labrador who suffer unique geographic isolation issues are included with these rebates, because it's supposed to lower the cost of living and make life, quality of life, much better for everybody, right?
So the home heat rebate, and I know that you had some constituents that there was different issues with their invoices, and I went through the same thing, and I might say that still going through the same thing with some people that live in coastal communities in the south that I represent. And it is unfortunate that we might have, a truck that would go down the road and gas people up and maybe did it for years and years and didn't have a civic address, and that delayed people. But on that particular note, it's my understanding that the finance minister was working with you, and I believe you acknowledge that and trying to support you there. We were also happy, I was the former finance minister, as you'll recall, during COVID when we were concerned about cost of living, isolated communities, mostly yours. I think I did have two in the south that received a check to each household. As all I can tell you is that as the Minister for Labrador Affairs, when I'm at a table, whenever that there is money going to be rolling out into the province, I'm certainly educating my colleagues on the unique needs of Labrador that need to be addressed there. There are some instances where there may be incentives to for people to turn to electricity, but we do have a disadvantage that's greater than you or I, and same thing for our member that's here in the back that represents the Virgil LaPoyle area, in that if you're operating on diesel, some of those incentives didn't apply because it's not going to reduce the use of diesel, is my understanding. But again, I don't want to speak for my colleague, the Minister of, for example, Environment and Conservation.
Okay, another general question. Just looking at the uniqueness of Labrador, and especially in my district, what work is the Labrador Affairs doing in, I guess, in terms of working with the Department of Environment to sort of address some of the specific issues and challenges that climate change is having in my northern Labrador district?
Well, I would say that in terms of Labrador Affairs directly, some of that extra more than $3 million that we got would have been for me, coming out of conversations that I've had with the Anyacox, with people working on the trails, working with the Smart Ice, talking about climate change and no longer having temperatures as cold as we were once used to, and routes that need to be changed, shelters that need to be moved in different locations, etc. On the bigger picture across government, I know that some communities, if they're concerned about erosion and things like that, that would be a bigger infrastructure program that they would have to apply to meet the specific need or challenge that they're experiencing.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. It's good. You know, I have hope that the two departments can work together, especially with the knowledge that Labrador Affairs obtains. It's of the unique geography that my region is facing. So I am pleased, and I do have hope for that, that you'll be able to influence the department. In terms of Labrador Affairs, I was just wondering, you know, I know the Department of Education has the file, but what's your department doing to help improve recruitment and retention of teachers in my district, especially where we saw huge hardship to the high school students of Nain, where they lost their teachers to the junior high students and were forced to go online? So I was just wondering, what's your department doing in terms of helping with the recruitment and retention of teachers? And also, we have the same issue with healthcare professionals in my district of Northern Labrador, but Labrador as a whole really, really is impacted by the lack of healthcare professionals.
Yeah, so those are very important questions. And any time that I become aware of vacancies, of challenges anywhere in Labrador, North Coast, Labrador City have had some issues as well. I guess I could start by saying all across the sectors right now, there's tremendous labor market challenges, as I'm sure you are aware. First, it's to gain an understanding of where the gaps are and the challenges are, and then it's to lobby for improvement. So I actually did meet with Trent Langdon, the president of NLTA. We had some great discussion. I wanted to gain a better understanding, and conversations for me in education are always ongoing. The health. No doubt that health has been challenged across our province, across our country, and beyond as we navigate through, I guess, right now what we would say is a post-global pandemic. One of the, I think, layers of challenges for communities like you represent and like I'm responsible for as a minister is historically often we would have retired people that came for the experience to practice in the north, and then COVID happened and they didn't want to expose themselves. So that added an extra challenge. But I know all during the COVID, the last 2 or 3 years, I met very, very regularly with the CEO of the health authority to find out, kept a very close pulse on, even though I'm not in the operations of health, a close pulse on what the staffing numbers were in each of the clinics, what was full capacity, what should be there. And there really was a monumental effort on the South Coast. We closed down clinics quite often and had people driving to neighboring towns, even in the winter, seniors. But we saw the value and the necessity of having a better complement of nurses in places like Nain, for example. And we'll continue, as you saw in Budget 23, there is substantive investment in funding, both in the recruitment fund and in the retention fund in terms of initiatives. So there is what I would call a very mighty effort by the government to try and get us back to better numbers in all our communities, but in particular isolated communities like you represent.
So that brings me to, Minister, that brings me to my next question. Do you support extra incentives for Northern Labrador, especially in terms of the recruitment and retention of teachers? Falling under one provincial school board, they seem to say one fits all. So you can't give anything extra to try and recruit for Northern Labrador because everybody got to be treated equally. So do you support extra incentives for retention and recruitment of teachers, and also the same for the healthcare professionals?
Well, it is my understanding, and we can certainly endeavor to find this out from education and health, but it is my understanding that we actually have increased incentives, signing bonuses, etc., for recruitment for the North. For Labrador.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we can try and get that for you.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, thank you. MHA, Kamayat number.
Thank you. I just want to go back to the question that I had asked about how many individuals have used the MTAP program in the last year. And I believe it was stated that in 2022-23, the number was approximately 4,449 people, but and you said that this was an increase. I'm just curious as to how many more people did it increase by?
So in 21-22, patient number was 3,545, and then it increased to the 4,449. That's the regular MTAP. And in the income support, we actually saw the number go down a little bit. Yes, I'm getting the nod from the lady who's been dealing with this longer than me, but in the previous year under the income support, the total was 14,723, and that dropped to 13,264. But I believe it's directly related to the fact that we have, I don't have the numbers because income support's not under my department, but we have lower numbers of people in the province right now on income support, which is a positive.
Okay, that is good. Okay, thank you. In March, the Department for Health and Community Service said it's reviewing MTAP, including its policies, procedures, and forms. Can you, Minister, tell us when this review will be released publicly? And you referenced it earlier. I assume that it's under your purview now, doing the review. But could you please tell me when that would be released publicly?
I can't give you a date other than it won't be a long, drawn-out process. And so we do have some extra money, and it's really, really important that we get that into the program and out into the for the benefit of the user in as timely a manner as possible. So whether that is increased rates of mileage or increase in airfare allowables or overnight accommodations or how that money will be spent, we are collectively looking for feedback of we've reached out to all of the MHAs. I know that some offices deal with MTAP quite a lot and some that probably don't get any calls on MTAP.
Okay, thank you. Has any consideration been made for government to pay for travel expenses up front for individuals and families that need it?
Provision is there right now for that from Labrador, again being airfare, I guess, being so high, in particular in areas like Labrador West and Goose Bay.
So the provision is there, and is it being utilized?
The numbers I saw the other day actually surprised me a little bit, because I would have anticipated, given the high cost of airfare, that more people would have been availing instead of paying up front and claiming. I believe was a 40, in the last fiscal year, there was 40 people that availed to have received the payment up front.
Okay, thank you. And are there any plans to increase the amount that subsidy will cover?
Everything right now is under review.
Everything is, as they say, everything is on the table. Okay, good. Does government have an estimate on how many people have to rely on community fundraisers to pay for the gap in funding between MTAP and the total cost? And I'm sure, you know, as an MHA, I hear about this from my constituents, and I'm sure that most MHAs hear this. So would you have any estimate?
I'm sure you know the answer to the question you asked.
Well, I still have to ask.
Over 400 communities in the province, I'm sure we never know. There's a fundraiser every night for something or a dart tournament, and I don't know if it's necessarily MTAP. There's always a need somewhere. I know that.
Will there be any assessment of that factor in your review to see how much the community has to shoulder the responsibility here?
Given the needs that we hear right now out in community for from MTAP users, it's not my intent to launch into a very long, drawn-out process, and I'm not sure what that would do right now to the process if a community is having 10 fundraisers, and how do you measure that need? I know in areas I represent, there's lots of fundraisers that probably were never asked for. People feel helpless when they see a need and they want to do something. It's a lot of gray there. I can't speak to that with any level of, but it's not our intent right now is to receive feedback, feedback that we get directly to the 45 staff on the phone lines, the offices that receive the calls. I mean, I'm looking at MHAs here tonight that certainly reach out to me on MTAP on a regular basis since it's come in. And so these, we'll be hearing that input, and then we'll try and utilize the money to get the best benefit for the user.
Okay, thank you. And under salaries, 01 salaries, last year $2,550,200 was budgeted, but only $1,700,200 was spent. Can you explain this, please?
That would have been directly related to the vacancies that I referenced earlier.
Okay. Now, with respect to that point, because of the vacant positions, does the minister feel that you can fill these vacant positions if they couldn't be filled in the previous year? What is it that gives you that confidence that you can fill these vacant positions since they couldn't be filled in the previous year?
Well, again, I'll go back to my earlier comments of I can't speak to the program when it wasn't under me, but I do know that in my time here, generally when I'm on a mission to make something happen, I've had success, and I am determined that those positions will be filled, and they'll be filled in as timely a manner as possible.
Okay, thank you. And 09 under allowances and assistance. This year, as you've indicated, there's an additional $1 million budgeted for this line item. Can you please explain this?
For the MTAP?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were hearing from users that the amount that they are receiving is not sufficient. It's no secret that we're at a 41-year cost of living high. That's not because we have a Liberal government in Newfoundland and Labrador or PC government in the Maritimes or an NDP government in BC. We are, you know, it's the war in Ukraine, it's COVID, it's all these reasons, sanctions on Russia, that we've had this high cost of living. And so I would give accolades to the Premier who said we will give you the program, do the review, and to start. Here is $1 million to put in a very timely manner toward where you are seeing the greatest need is.
And I assume that will be determined after the review
yes.
is completed.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that completes my questions. Thank you.
MHA Evans.
Yes, thank you. So I'll just continue with my general questions. Looking at transportation for, let's say, my district and a lot of rural areas, Quebec has an airfare travel subsidy for rural and remote areas in their province, and it seems to be working quite well. When I looked into it, it seems to have quite a substantial history. I thought it was just something new in the last 2 years. I thought it was an election campaign, actually. But it existed in different forms. So my question is sort of a direct one. For air transportation for the region of Torngat Mountains and also Black Tickle, who doesn't have road access, would this... is there any work being done to sort of bring a subsidy similar to what Quebec has in place for the isolated communities?
So the minister directly responsible for air access and those things actually took a number of questions in the House today. What I'll say, a couple of things with regard to Labrador and the high cost. Is, and you mentioned Black Tickle, we were able to work out a partnership for that particular community with a skedevac flight under the health authority that goes in there 2-3 times a week, usually with lots of empty seats. And so the government pays for sort of like a voucher program for people. We worked out a much cheaper rate. And people traveling for medical, as you would know, there is a voucher, I think it's $80 for an individual for getting off the coast of Labrador into whether it's St. Anthony or on the north coast. It's primarily Goose Bay.
Yeah, but what about a travel subsidy for people, not patients? Quebec has one for everybody in rural, remote, isolated communities to travel actually from major centres to and from those areas, a straight subsidy of a cost of $500, or for travel outside of those three major centres, a 30% subsidy of the travel. So in my communities, we only have air transportation, air travel, and the same thing with Black Tickle. That's why I mentioned Black Tickle. So would Labrador Affairs and this government consider a similar airfare subsidy for my districts and any other rural place on the island that's not connected by road?
That's not something I can speak to here tonight. It's not connected with any of the line items. I certainly can appreciate the high cost of travel around the province and in particular in Labrador, but I've not been a part of a conversation of a subsidy that Quebec provides. Yeah.
So my second question, as Labrador Affairs, would you consider advocating for an air travel subsidy for Labrador for isolated communities?
Even now, always advocating for isolated communities, and I understand that thankfully some of the Nanatsiavut beneficiaries, somebody was just telling me at the airport in Goose Bay that they are able to book their travel if they're a beneficiary at a little bit of a reduced cost, which I'm sure is a help when the cost of everything is so high. But always interested in looking at ways that we can provide a service to better help the people that live there.
Yes, and Nunatsiavut beneficiary or Inuit Nation beneficiary can actually book a return ticket from Nain or Napishish for $1,000 as opposed to $1,200, right? So it does help a little.
Yeah.
But still, who has $1,000 to travel within your province, within your region? Mining companies, now just getting to the next topic, mining companies have been asking for more electricity to support and potentially expand our operations in Labrador. And in actual fact, what I've been hearing is it's impacted the growth of Lab West. So what's Labrador Affairs done to advance this issue?
So the lead department on mining and industry needs would certainly be IET, and I can't speak for them, but I can tell you that Labrador Affairs, we do meet regularly with groups like NL Hydro, and I believe it was just last week that I would have had the CEO of Hydro and a team in my office, and certainly an active file. We are very aware of the needs around the increased needs in Labrador West, and I believe that the very competent minister is on top of that file and working with Hydro and working with the different players in the mining industry to address that going forward.
Thank you. Thank you for that answer. Just looking at the we've had some tremendous announcements in this budget, and you did refer to $3.2 million as a one-time, sort of a one-time for this budget. And you did talk about listening to the Unyukaks regarding their equipment. I was just wondering how much of the money is going towards the equipment out of is it the $1.6 million? Is that for replacing equipment?
So the 1.5 is for replacements, upgrades to groomer garages and emergency shelters, and the 1.6 million is for new grooming machines. And we did hear that when we would have our meetings with the Anyukaks. There's at least one community in particular in need of a new groomer, and there may be three communities. Yes.
Okay,
and we recognize that that's their highway in the wintertime, so we have to ensure that they have good working equipment to keep the trails groomed.
And Minister, I really, really thank you for your answer, and I really thank you for listening to the people when we have our meetings regarding the trails. And equipment replacement and garages were an issue that was brought forward. And we did talk about the trails as our highway. We don't have highway. So I really want to acknowledge the fact that in this budget, it looks like you are coming through. So I will say I appreciate it, and I know my constituents and the Unyukaks will appreciate that as well. That's really, really good news. And, in a world where we don't actually get much good news and we don't get many people listening to us, so I do want to thank you for that. The most important thing I have left to say in terms of the groomers, there is, you did speak about the annual operations, and you said there's a 140,000 year-over-year increase now, and that is because you've heard about the salary problems. So are you, that 140,000, is that going to actually help increase the salaries and the benefits so we can attract stable members for groomer operators?
So first to your earlier point, thank you for that. I'm always listening. Sometimes when we don't deliver, it doesn't mean I'm not trying on this side, but I did appreciate the support of my cabinet team in getting the extra $3.5 million. I also want to say it was troubling to hear from some of the Anyukaks that they had very large, heavy groomers, and now with climate change that you referenced earlier and the ice not freezing as deeply that they were looking for, in some cases smaller groomers. So it was a safety issue, which in my mind, nothing trumps safety. So it was imperative that we get that extra money. Yes, another thing that I did hear from the Anucocks is that with a lot of your workforce, as you would know, working in places like Voisey's Bay, that very difficult to attract workers with the operational budget that we did have there, and also the cost of fuel have gone up. So we did, that is a permanent increase to the operating base, and so in the not too distant future we'll actually be meeting again with all of our partners that we service there in your district in particular, and in the couple of towns in the southern part, to look at, to have discussion around what the next season will look like and other seasons going forward.
Okay, thank you. That's really good to hear in terms of the commitment. And so I'm just about out of time, so I'll try to sneak in the another question. Just looking at the I'm just going through my questions now. Regarding the MOU signed between the province, you mentioned, between the province and Nunavut back in February. In the MOU, it mentions the need to advance the movement of goods and people and to work together to explore the potential to strengthen transportation links. Has there been any discussion yet on this front?
No discussion yet, but it was pretty exciting to be a part of this, and we drew such a large crowd. I'm sure it was the two premiers, it wasn't me or the deputy up there, but in Ottawa in February. And, you know, both jurisdictions, as you would know, have a strong Indigenous population. And some of the things that you and I are discussing here tonight, certainly, you know, with Nunavut, we share a like-minded approach to safe and sustainable Arctic development. And so I'm actually hoping to be going to Nunavut sometime in the not-too-distant future, and we've extended an invite for the premier from up there. And matter of fact, I believe there was also an invite extended for the premier of Nunavut to come to Expo in Goose Bay in June, if you're around at that time. But we've actually not yet had a face-to-face meeting, but there's certainly been lots of collaboration between officials in Labrador Affairs and officials with the Nunavut government long before February and ongoing since February.
Okay. MHA, Kamala, are you finished?
Finished questions, yes.
Okay. MHA Evans?
I've basically saved all my Labrador general questions for this section, so I'll continue on. Going back to the MOU signed between Nunavut, I was just wondering, you know, Nunavut is an Inuit province, territory now, and I was just wondering, in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador, Nunatsiavut government, Labrador Inuit, they have their own land claims. So I was wondering, will this province be engaging Nunatsiavut government with any of the talks that they have with Nunavut?
I can tell you we certainly, this is putting on a little bit my Indigenous Affairs and Reconciliation hat, but we certainly value the relationship that we have with the Nunatsiavut government. We always, I think, learn from each other when we share space. And as you would know, the Premier and I meet regularly with Indigenous leaders, so we've built that relationship now over a period of time. And whether it's President Lamp or one of his ministers, usually always on the call, and the door is open for a two-way relationship. Exactly what this will look like going forward, I can't speak to that in any detail right now because I don't want to misspeak, but I will say that the MOU was between the government of Newfoundland and Labrador and the government of Nunavut, but we're always open and certainly welcome to continue to build on the relationship with Nunatsiavut for sure.
My next general question will be, has Newfoundland Nunavut Cooperation Implementation Committee developed its two-year rolling work plan? And will this be released to the public once it's completed?
The work plan is not completed yet.
Okay, so it's not completed. And part two of the question is, once it's completed, will it be released to the public? Will it be shared with the public?
That's something that we would have to discuss with Nunavut as we work with them moving forward together.
Okay, thank you. Just looking back at a question that I missed here, are there plans to increase the provincial travel subsidy for sports? I know you did talk about some of the monies in the budget, right? And I'm sure you would like to answer that question.
That was another area that I was successful in getting some extra money in, so recognizing the increased cost of airfare in particular. We did get an extra $100,000 for that program. And we've actually, again, in listening with a big ear to the ground, as some of the things that we heard, and I believe, I'm not sure if you were in the meeting, but MHA Brown and MHA Trimper, I met with them, and there was some discussion around junior varsity program, centralized sporting events, Indigenous games, some things that weren't covered, and we've now sort of expanded the funding rationale a little bit as a direct result of listening to the representatives on the ground.
Yes, and actually I was at that meeting because we were trying to get some of the subsidy for travel that was taken away back a few years ago. So it's really good to see. Moving on to the next general question, has the department seen improvements in public health as a result of the harm reduction efforts taken by the action team that you mentioned earlier in Happy Valley Goose Bay?
Given the complexities around vulnerable populations and this being directly related to health, I wouldn't want to misspeak and be quoted in Hansard. So that's a question I would leave for the Health Minister.
Yep, so that leads to my second question. Do you have sort of a means to actually measure, improvements in public health in terms of harm reduction? So, do you have any parameters, any indicators that you will be measuring and following?
I'm quite certain that there are a number of indicators that public health, it's a pretty massive ship over in Health and Community Services, that they use as indicators, but it's not something that I can speak to specifically as the Minister for Labrador Affairs.
Okay, thank you. And what new initiatives can we expect to see in the upcoming year as a result of the community needs assessment conducted for the action team?
Well, housing is the lead on the file, and you would have seen in the budget that we've certainly, this government is committed to making a substantive investment into a facility to go toward addressing some of the need that we're seeing right now in Central Labrador, a facility that will, include supportive housing units, shelter, and wraparound services. So plans are moving forward for that.
Have you
substantive amount of work, I should say, gone into that by quite a, across departments at the official level in particular.
The next question is, looking for an update on the work in the town of Happy Valley Goose Bay to build a new facility to bring together health, housing, and supportive services under one roof. So how is that work progressing?
So it is moving forward. There's been quite a lot done in terms of housing, and Labrador Affairs officials recently sat down with the town of Happy Valley and went through the design of the building. It's
Sure.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
I just asked him, I wasn't sure about how much time I'm allowed, so I didn't want to run out of time before.
Yeah, no, yeah. So that work is progressing, and the officials from Housing and from Labrador Affairs recently sat down to town to go through the design of the building to answer any questions they had. And I'm only referencing that because it happened recently, but over the last number of months, they've been in community, people in community that had concerns or had questions had an opportunity a number of times to go to where those officials were set up and ask their questions and learn more about what's happening. So that work is progressing.
Okay. My colleague actually asked a couple of questions on the transient homeless population and the needs, the needs of the homeless transient populations and also the community. And also she mentioned, some of the reports about crimes being common. And that leads to my next question now is, what specifically being done to address the transient population, which is totally different than the homeless population, and its impacts on the local residents?
So you're absolutely right, and I did reference that earlier. There is a transient and there is a homeless. There is a number of people that may be frequent the area that are not homeless, but find themselves in that community year over year, in particular at certain times of year, maybe when the weather is not as cold, etc. There's a number of initiatives ongoing. From a public safety perspective, we're always concerned, and I do say, and I say on the acute response team calls all the time, we're concerned about the public safety of everybody. So John and Jane Doe, who has a house on 10th Street or the vulnerable population or the transient, we're concerned about safety for them, sometimes maybe even against themselves. So we have the action team that's working on a number of initiatives toward this facility. We have the acute response team that's put funding into a number of different mechanisms around security, etc. And we also have the hub that the provincial government provides support for there in the valley, and then we have an overflow at the Friendship Center, at the Lab Inn, because we've certainly not wanted to turn anyone away and end up with a tragedy or something, especially what our winters are like in Labrador.
Yep. I was more thinking of, I think it's important to recognize the transient population as a vulnerable group that has needs, and we need to make sure that they're safe. But also, I think there has to be resources, and I think that's what my colleague was also getting at. The population, the resident population in Happy Valley Goose Bay also is being impacted in a very, very, very negative way. And we talk about crimes, we talk about residents not able to go out for their regular walks, leisure, they worry about their children. And I realize it's a balance, but I was just wondering, is there any initiative there to try and reduce the transient population that's actually impacting the community of Happy Valley Goose Bay? In a sensitive manner, qualify now.
You're absolutely right. It is a very, very, very complex file, and I can't tell you how many times people say to me, something has to be done. And I say, I'm open to hearing what the solutions are. I was in Winnipeg for a conference in March, saw and talked to people. The biggest numbers, homelessness, have grown across this country. Regarding the transient, I want to say that we have an ongoing relationship with the Indigenous leaders, and I know that leadership in some of those isolated communities, whether it's Innu, whether it's Inuit, they really struggle. I have had meetings where they say, we can't prevent our members from leaving our communities, our residents. And I totally respect as leaders that they can't. When I was in leadership in a municipality in my community, I couldn't prohibit people from leaving the community. But one of the things that the Indigenous leaders have been doing, recognizing some of the issues that you outlined, is they have been putting on flights. A number of times when I've been in contact with the Indigenous leaders, they have said, we have sent flights, and you'll see the numbers go down for a period, and then the numbers will sometimes come up again. Around a public safety issue I referenced earlier, there's been times that we have had increased officers go into the community. As a government, we've put extra resources into security. We recognize that it's not just money and extra resources being the answer that we have to. It's really important that we have wraparound supports, social workers, etc. The mobile crisis response sends not just an officer, but a social worker. And so as I mentioned to MHA Ottenheimer, we will get you a list of the measures and things that, we are doing, because it is quite a substantive list.
And we'll start the clock again.
Okay, we'll start the clock again. Okay, carry on.
Yes, MHA Evans. You talked about committing resources to try and deal with this issue, because it is an issue that doesn't only impact the Lake Melville region. It's, you know, we do have a large percentage of its transient populations from Napishish. We do also have some homeless people from my district that's actually in Happy Valley Goose Bay. One of the questions that I just wanted clarification on is, in the last several years, how much money, additional money, have you committed to RCMP and the town of Happy Valley Goose Bay in terms of their policing?
I'm not able to answer that. That would be a question for the Justice Minister, because he is the minister responsible for signing up on the cost for the RCMP operations in the province. I just don't have it, so I don't want to misspeak. That'd be terrible.
Yep. And thank you, Minister, for your answer. And the reason why I asked that is because I know you've been heavily involved in the homeless issue. I know you've been heavily involved in the resources advocating, and also what was committed from Justice. So the reason why I asked the questions, I thought you might actually have it on hand. So just moving on down now to, I'm just trying to go through the questions here that's already been asked by my colleague. Just looking at supplies, I know it sounds a bit nitty-picky, but supplies there in the section 2.1.01, Labrador Affairs, there's a revised value of additional $4,000. So if you look at the line item of supplies, yep.
So the extra $4,000 was an overrun due to higher than anticipated supply costs. So some of that would have been safety equipment for our trail inspector, increased cost in gas, et cetera.
Yes.
And there was a cell phone purchase as well. They get old, and sometimes you got to replace them.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for that answer. Just moving on to the next section now, 2.1.02, medical transportation. And I know a lot of questions have actually been asked under this, so I won't repeat them. My colleague had asked about whether the department was considering revising NPAP program to provide upfront assistance. You know, and you said that's being done. There's upfront costs now are available, right? Correct?
There, if Labradorians have an opportunity to avail of airfare, air travel cost upfront, yes.
Yep. So my next question that hasn't been asked yet is the department looking at increasing the cap for reimbursement of expenses for medical travel?
Well, we're very early into the review. And, you know, the budget came down, and then the house closed for a couple of weeks. I think we were all scattered. But certainly right now we are reviewing everything. We're reviewing the number of users under both programs. You know, where is the biggest uptake? Is it air? Is it road? All these things right now are being looked at.
Okay, thank you. Just looking at the, you know, the health rolls now, just being the critic for health, I guess I learned quite a lot of things, and a lot of times we're not really aware of a lot of the health issues, the transportation issues that, that people, you know, in the entire province, but also in Labrador, face. And I've heard the phrase about MTAP as being the payer of last resort. And I was kind of confused by that. So there seems to be a huge need out there for people who are having to make multiple trips for health conditions. Like if they need extensive treatment or they have a chronic condition. And like I try not to preach or sound like I'm preaching, and I always do, but In the province, like ensuring that we have adequate medical care is so important. And I mean, Minister, you know that yourself. You know, we have families who have needs. We have friends who have needs. And being, you know, from Labrador, but also rural Newfoundland and Labradorians to travel. So have you taken into consideration what you've been hearing about families having to fundraise so that they can access treatment, right? So I was just wondering again about, is there any plan to have total coverage of your medical travel? Because we've had people who, say for example, resident of Happy Valley Goose Bay, was flying back and forth to St. John's for medical care, right? And then all of a sudden, it wasn't available. So he was actually having to travel to Halifax. And when he was traveling to Halifax, his travel, his hotel, his accommodations, everything was arranged for him. He didn't have to do that himself. And he didn't have to pay anything up front because it was all covered. Then all of a sudden, bad news. It was available again in St. John's. You know, the lists had gone down. So then he had to start going back and forth to the province. So then he was out of pocket. He had to do everything. So I was just wondering, with this review, is there any consideration to have MTAP cover all the transportation costs related to medical?
So just to your first point, clarity around payer of last resort. Really what that means is we have people who have insurance because it's not, the program is not an income tested. So you might have somebody with a good job that their employer provides insurance. So obviously it's really important that they use up their insurance first because, the program does have a finite budget and you don't want to be taking that money from someone where there might be a tremendous need. In terms of where the program is going, all I can speak to right now is that I have recently inherited as the minister and that I have $1 million to start with this review. I also want to comment that if you read some of the recommendations that came out of the, because I do, the things you speak up are things I deal with daily as a member of a rural area myself. The under the recommendations of the Health Accord, they looked at a lot of things happening virtually with other jurisdictions. And it was actually in your district in Nain in January that I thought I must pitch this idea and use someone as a benchmark. And so I asked an elder gentleman how he would feel. You know, I understand that you have to leave a community and come to see a doctor, but once you've you have your need established and it's being treated, do you always need to travel all that way for appointments, et cetera? And I know that you represent an area where many times English might be the second language. So I did ask a gentleman, how do you feel about the direction that we can be doing more around virtual care? And he actually shared in the full boardroom that he's using virtual care and very much in support of it. In addition to that, I think one of the things that will help alleviate some of the hardship is as we move forward, doing a better job with like a patient navigator. If someone has to come in May 1st for an appointment and then they have to come back May 5th, can there be some way that you can just coordinate, and so that's one trip instead of two? So these are some of the directions that I want to move in. And then on a whole, the broader government in healthcare, certainly looking at, you would have seen in the budget, providing more services around virtual care to make it better for individuals and hopefully help alleviate some of the travel.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that. And anything that would alleviate the distresses on some on a patient would be greatly appreciated. So I do appreciate your comments, Minister. My next question now, where MTAP has come under Labrador Affairs, and it seems like the rationale to seat it under Labrador Affairs is because of the huge need, use of the program for Labradorians because of the travel for healthcare. So that being said, this is leading to my question, are there plans to open an MTAP office in Labrador? If it's based under Labrador, because we have so many Labradorians traveling, will there be an MTAP office in Labrador to sort of serve the residents better?
Well, as you would appreciate, we're spread out over a pretty large, vast land in Labrador, and I think no matter where we would put an office, the rest of the area, even myself, my constituency office is in Forto, and that's about 3.5 hours away from where I live. And then I have communities that are a couple hundred kilometers beyond that. What I have found the most value in when I want to keep close to a program is having it very close to me instead of having it as a distance. Me as a minister at the top decision-making level, I have found that when I have staff around me that I can access everything single day, that's what worked for my style of leadership. Whether at some point down the road there will be an MTAP office in Labrador, that's not something that I can speak to today. I do want to say, when you look at the big numbers of MTAP, Labradorians are not the biggest user. We might in some way have the biggest challenges, and we certainly have some unique challenges unknown to the rest of the province. But just by given the numbers, the fact that we are only 6% of the provincial population, we're not the biggest users of the program.
MHA Evans, would you like the clock started again?
Yes, well, we'll start again.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Go ahead.
And my fellow.
No more questions there.
No, but if you feel, if something comes to you, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. We're all friends.
That's so nice of you.
It's all about improving the services for Labrador, and that's why we do have a Labrador Affairs Department.
Correct.
Right, is because of the vast geographic needs, the cultural differences. It's important to have a Labrador Affairs office, and also for them to be, advocating and raising the issues that we bring forward to you. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of value in your jobs, and I do appreciate the role the minister plays and every single one of you in the department. Sometimes I don't sound like I appreciate it, but it's so important, right? Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to move on to the next question. And this is near and dear to my heart, too. So has the Department of Labrador Affairs been involved with discussions surrounding the launch of the Heart Force One? And will you be applying any lessons learned from this program to how MTAP can run and actually improve?
I don't, I really am not comfortable speaking to something specifically around health, other than to say, again, from my own experience as an MHA, the Heart Force One was, I think it's an incredible venture that we're on there, taking people from the hospitals and bringing them to where the specialists are, and then bringing them back to recover in the facility that they originated from. I have heard from my constituency very positive feedback, so kudos to the Premier and the Health Minister on starting that, especially for places like Labrador. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the hip and joint, which is happening the same thing. I'm not sure if they've been to Goose Bay. They've been to St. Anthony. They may have serviced some of your constituents, certainly a good number of mine, where you have a whole team of specialists that flies up, does a bunch of hip and joint surgeries, and then the team flies back the next day or in 2 days, and it's really cutting down the wait list that built up in this province during COVID. And I've heard some wonderful feedback about it, and of course a little bit of extra pride because the guy leading that is from my district, Dr. Moores in Lanseclair.
Thank you, Minister, and I share your sentiment there on the program. Not that struck on the name, Heart Force One, but I have to say, coming from Northern Labrador, it really was one of the biggest positive initiatives that I've seen. And it's really made a difference for the quality of healthcare for our people that needs the service. So, I think it is a good initiative, and I really support it. And so that's a really good, I just can't say enough good things about it. But looking at the rest of my comments now, my fellow colleague had raised a question there about what was being done to reduce the cost for North Coast. And I know the minister did mention the Hometic W and said that it's 100% subsidized. But really, technically, yep. And like, I'm not going to hold you to that, the 100% or 70% or whatever the subsidy is for the Hometic W. But I do want to ask, the Hometic W really, really has not addressed the issue of road access. Because road access was the reason I was told, and I know there's a lot of regret in saying those words to me in June 2019, but the Hometic W replaced the ferry and the coastal freight boat from the island. And we still have the burden of the extra transportation, the extra trucking. Now, one thing I did say to the Deputy Minister of Labrador and Indigenous Affairs at the time of one department, and the Minister of Transportation and all his people, because he said that stuff being sold in Goose Bay should be the same price as on the North Coast because it's traveling the same distance. But the retailers in Goose Bay sell to a much larger market. The town of Happy Valley Goose Bay is many, many times larger than any community on the North Coast, so the volume is much greater. So the markup can be much less and still make a good profit. So for us, we are really burdened with the removal of the freight boat, which I think my colleague was getting at. So I was just wondering, is there any work being done on trying to reduce the cost of food? And it's not just the northern stores. It's just, you go to any of the stores in the community on the North Coast. Food insecurity is a huge, huge burden that people have to bear. So I was just wondering, is there anything being done, other than subsidizing the Hometic W?
So I certainly do appreciate MHA Evans, where you were coming from, and as I mentioned, the 40-year cost of living high around the country, I've seen real true hardship even in my own district, and I know you represent, you have the extra layer of isolated communities. I know that what you speak of is a fact, because we actually walked as a group down through the aisles of the Northern store and saw things like orange juice, $24 for a bottle. The prices were staggering. I can't speak to the specifics around the transportation and the nuances of that, other than to say we have continued to see an increase in passenger and freight and people going out with their own vehicle and maybe buying in bulk, some that could. I know the most vulnerable can't do that, because I represent some of those in isolated communities as well. I think the reference to the we often hear the chicken being the example, but if when you get, if a chicken is $10 when it gets to Goose Bay and sold in the store for $11, it seems to be sold for a lot more on the North Coast. I don't have an answer for that question. It's something that have always kind of baffled me, but I will say that my colleague Minister Abbott and I, upon return from our trip to Nain in January, we really got together, and we want to work together to see what we can do to address some of the to help address some of the high cost of living in Torngat. Yes, that's right. And we did. I was just reminded that we did write the Nunatsiavut government and ask them to participate in that with us as we tried to look at why the cost is so high, the cost of food is so high in some of those communities.
Yes, and thank you, Minister, for acknowledging too that most people in my communities that access the HMHW don't have a vehicle that they can put on the ferry and go to Goose Bay and buy the food, buy it in bulk, because the cost of maintenance, inspections, and all those sort of things. So most people don't have a car. So that's not a solution, and I really appreciate the minister acknowledging that. And also, it's the question has to be asked about anything being done to increase the access to nutritional foods. The Northern Health Food Subsidy, or whatever it's called, does not seem to be working. And I know under the Health Accord, the social determinants of health identify access to nutritional food and access to adequate food is a huge indicator impacting people's health. So is there anything being done to actually increase the access to nutritional foods in Northern Labrador and also in Black Tickle?
There, as I mentioned, the program is there. It's a pretty generous program. I don't know, MHA Evans, if some retailers are not availing of the program, but I've actually had many conversations with the MP for Labrador, and I know that she helped lobby with me to have additional food items added to that. And then there was the harvester something check where a harvester can get money for going out on the land to harvest food, etc. So I don't know if the businesses are availing of the program, but it's certainly there, and I'm sure it would really help, especially at this high cost of living time.
Yes, thank you, Minister. And anything to help in terms of access to nutritional food will be greatly appreciated. My last comment is not a question. I was just contributing my comments to the question that my colleague asked about Starlink as opposed to Bell. And it's my understanding that the monies for the upgrades to the system was from the federal government, with a portion being contributed from the provincial government, and it was to be, with Nunatsiavut. And also the Innu entered into the agreement as well. And it's my understanding that Bell was selected over Starlink because Bell was able to offer a package that would help with phone upgrades. We have serious, serious issues with problems with phone communication, where in the communities, a lot of times people lose their phone service, and Bell Alliance has to actually go in and do the repairs. So it was about upgrading the phone systems. Also, the package was able to include cell phone service, which we don't have in our communities right now. And also a big factor was the ability to repair and support, which Starlink wasn't providing. So that was my understanding of the agreement, right?
Great job. You elaborated better than I did.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Okay. Are there more questions? Clerk, can you recall the section so a vote can take place?
2.1.01 to 2.1.02, inclusive, Labrador Affairs.
Shall 2.1.01, 2.1.02, inclusive, carry? Carried.
Total.
Shall the total carry? Shall I report the estimates of the Department of Labrador Affairs? Okay. Well, that ends our meeting for this evening. I'd like to say a special thank you to all of you who were here this evening. And thank you to the minister and her officials. Great job. Nice to see you all. Some for the first time, even though I'm on your floor. I only use your bathroom. But anyways, the next meeting for estimates is Friday at 9 a.m. to consider the estimates of the Department of Finance, Consolidated Fund Services, and the Public Services Commission. But before I ask for the adjournment, ministers, anything you'd like to say before we end?
I'll just say thank you to my two colleagues across the way. I think it was a very good estimate session. Thank you for the very respectful tone. And thank you to the members that sat through. And a big thank you to the people around me, because we could never do the jobs that we do unless we had competent, capable staff that puts a lot into this. So thanks so much, and have a good rest of the evening.
Any committee members like to say something?
Yes, I would like to also thank everyone here today. This has been very informative, and so I thank the minister, I thank the team that she has, I thank my team. It's great. Thank you very much, Brad, for your invaluable assistance in preparing me for this experience, and I thank you, as well as the colleague from Torgat Mountains. Thank you.
Lila, you're going to have the last word anyway. Go ahead.
I'll be very, very brief. And as I said earlier, there's a reason why there is a Department of Labrador Affairs, and before it was part of Labrador and Indigenous Affairs. But, I mean, the vast geography, the cultural differences, the isolation in terms of travel, medical travel, all those factors really shows the need for Labrador Affairs. So I really thank you, each one of you. Sometimes we don't recognize, the effort that you put into it. And also I do like to thank the minister for her answers and the details that she went into. And also in terms of the trails, the Labrador trails, that extra money will be greatly appreciated. So I want to thank you all.
Okay, thank you very much. Motion for adjournment. Okay. Moved by Minister Bragg. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.